So our last case for argument, United States v. Garcia. Ms. Hubel.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Olivia Hubel on behalf of the defendant appellant, Mr. Victor Garcia. Your Honors, this case is about third-party consent. More specifically, it's about whether Monica Dominguez, an 18-year-old woman and the niece of the appellant, had the authority to consent to the search of Victor Garcia's apartment. Ms. Dominguez never lived at the defendant's apartment. She never made any admissions that she was living there. She did not have a driver's license with that address listed. She received no bill and no mail at the apartment.
Judge St. Eve did believe the officer's testimony that she said she could let us in, right?
Right. Judge St. Eve did credit the agent's testimony. And
over Dominguez, which is entirely plausible. She obviously didn't want to harm her uncle. So why isn't that the end of it? I mean, if the police officers are told, yeah, I have access to the house and so on, take care of the child, why isn't that the end of it?
Well, I think it becomes very problematic when we allow anybody with access to a home.
Not anybody to access, right? It's a relative. She takes care of the child because the mother is in another state, right? So she has access. She has a key.
I think it also becomes problematic when we allow someone who is a relative that has access and a key the ability to consent to a property.
Takes care of the child.
Correct, and takes care of the child. She has
a tiny apartment.
She has no relationship with that apartment, though. She is there for a specific amount of time.
You're not there for a specific amount of time when you're taking care of a child.
Respectfully, Your Honor, yes. Her job starts at the care of the child and ends when the care of the child is over with. She is there for a limited duration for the purpose of conducting her job.
But it varies from day to day to day, depending on where he is and when he's back and so forth. And occasionally she goes over to let friends in, and there was testimony about that.
Correct, but her relationship with the defendant is not the question here. It's her relationship with...
She's very close to being a surrogate mother.
Not at all, Your Honor. I don't believe that that is the case
at
all.
But the mother is... He's busy, and the mother is in another state. So someone has to take care of the child.
Why?
She's the aunt.
She is the niece, not the aunt.
No, the child.
Oh, yes. Yes. The sister of the aunt of the child is her mother, who had possession of the key.
Ms. Hubel, could I get away from the merits of this? It's a very interesting discussion. You've raised all kinds of interesting hypotheticals in your brief. I don't understand why any of this actually matters in this case, given that your client, if I understand this correctly, delivered nearly $500,000 in cash as part of a sting for what he thought was going to be a major cocaine purchase, and that's the crime he pled to. Why isn't this just an advisory opinion from us?
It does affect the case because the defendant had the right to go to trial, and it, depending on the ruling in this case, would then again have that right to go to trial. He picked up a duffel bag.
So does he want to go to trial if this evidence doesn't come in and it's just the hand-to-hand delivery of the $500,000?
That would be his decision at that point in time, but he had that decision before, and it was...
I'm not following the question. The question is, can you imagine a situation, which I think you can imagine, a situation which if those 13 kilograms that were in his apartment are admitted into evidence, he's dead.
Yes, Judge.
He'll never win. But if somehow they can be kept out, maybe with the 31, maybe he would want to go to trial on that. Would that be some calculation of that sort?
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that's why we're here today. Absolutely.
Because he wants to go to trial?
Because he had wanted to go to trial, and he would have that decision. He should have that decision. If the government seizes evidence that can be used against you in trial unlawfully, that changes your perception or your calculations of whether or not you would want to proceed to trial, especially evidence of this magnitude.
And why wouldn't the discovery of this cocaine have been inevitable after his arrest? I mean, it would be perfectly ordinary to do a search of his residence, right?
Well, and then it would be a lawful search after
it, with a warrant.
With a warrant.
Isn't that inevitable under these circumstances if Ms. Dominguez had not granted consent?
It is not inevitable that they would get a warrant for that apartment.
They could have
gotten a warrant for that apartment at any time, but they didn't, and this is the fruit of them not following those procedures. They could have gotten a warrant. They could have.
After he's arrested delivering the $500,000 in cash, any judge would grant a warrant for his apartment, right?
Correct, but this is so tied to his unlawful arrest. This is so tied to... So tied to his arrest and the unlawful actions of the agents that it's tainted by their unlawful actions.
Now, unlawful, I mean, maybe, but if she says no, I mean, isn't that how we analyze inevitable discovery, right? If she says no, they go get a warrant. No doubt it would be issued. And the 13 kilograms of cocaine would be discovered.
In this particular case, I believe that the agents, through their actions, that this is the fruit of their actions. And it's so tied to that this evidence should be suppressed.
Well, it's not as though this is... I mean, are you saying their strategy was somehow deceptive or evil?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they went to an 18-year-old girl at 11 o'clock at night to get her consent to go into an apartment where she was not located, where she had not...
The odd thing about that is if she had said, no, I won't let you into the apartment, couldn't they, on the basis of that, go on and search the apartment? On the theory that, well, she's a relative and she said no, and there must be some, that must mean there's something there. And as soon as we leave to get a warrant, she's going to go
over there and dispose of the drugs, and therefore it would be an exception to the warrant requirement. I haven't read a case that would hold that, and I would be surprised, honestly, to read that, because there's consent that's not given at any point in time. They could have had agents there holding her while they go to get a warrant. They could have watched over the home.
There's a good point. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I retract what I said.
I noticed
reading these cases, it's so vague. You know, this concept of common authority. When do you have authority over some other person's house? And what's odd about it is they say, well, the staff of a hotel can't let people into your room. And that seems very odd because, you know, it's a hotel. And obviously the staff going in the room, clean it, this, that. And yet that's on one side of the line. So how do we draw these lines?
And I, Judge Posner, as you said earlier, bright line rules are a great thing. It's very difficult with these factor tests to have this kind of fuzzy analysis of when do you actually have that required connection with that property? When does that happen? And that's what I was trying to get to with my hypotheticals. And what I would say is it's very clear to us when someone, maybe the potato chip rule, when you feel comfortable going into a residence, opening a bag of potato chips and watching a television show. That place is a home to you. That place is your private place. You go in there. You are comfortable. It is akin to a home. That wasn't the case with Ms. Dominguez.
Oh, I would think so. Really? I mean, if she's going in there and the child is playing and she gets bored and she could look in the refrigerator and...
for a limited duration in time, but and those facts weren't presented at trial. She watches the child from time to time over at her residence. If she needs to go into that residence, she can. You forget she's an 18-year-old child. Her uncle is 30 years old. For the duration of her life, her uncle lived in California. They don't have a close familial relationship. He had just moved there. His wife had given him custody of their child because he was such a great father, and he is there raising this child. From time to time, I don't believe he was... he may have been employed at the time, but from time to time he had things that called him away from the house, and his sister or his niece would watch this child.
So he trusted her enough to leave his house and allow her to have access to the key with 13 kilos of cocaine there. When he was called away.
Well, I think first of all, not only does it assume that he had knowledge of the 13 kilos, but secondarily, it shows his privacy interest in that area, that he knew she wasn't going to...
Assumes he had knowledge of the cocaine in his closet.
Correct. If he had knowledge of the cocaine in his closet, then wouldn't it next follow that he had such a great belief that she would not go in there, that he felt comfortable enough leaving 13 kilograms of cocaine in his closet? It was his private closet. It was in a duffel bag. She didn't regularly go over to his residence. In his mind, it was private, if he did, in fact, know about the 13 kilos of cocaine in his closet. And it only further illustrates...
But following up on Judge Tinder's question, he must have trusted her, right?
They didn't have a close relationship.
If you had a cleaning service or something coming into your house, you would not leave cocaine in a closet.
I do not believe that they had any relationship at all. Very small connection between the two of them.
He trusts his child with her. He trusts his apartment with her. That's pretty close. She lives within the same apartment complex. That's pretty close.
My child is in daycare right now. I don't necessarily know who is taking care of my child right at this moment. I know certain facts about that person, that they are hired by the place that I employ to take care of my child. But that doesn't mean that person and I have a close personal connection. He's new to the area. It is his niece. He does have her watch his child over at her residence. But that doesn't follow that he has a close relationship with her. Judge, I do see that. My time is expired.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hubel. Ms. Romero?
May it please the Court, my name is Jessica Romero, and I represent the United States. The federal agents properly obtained consent from the defendant's niece in order to search the residence. The defendant's niece specifically told the officers that the defendant had given her full access to his residence, including authority to allow third parties into the home.
Who were the third parties she'd been letting in?
According to Ms. Dominguez, the defendant's niece, it had been other children to come into play with the defendant's son.
At Dominguez's apartment?
No, inside of the defendant's apartment.
I'm sorry, defendant's apartment. Okay.
She was allowed to do this at her discretion as well. Her statements... and her demeanor that evening corroborated the fact that she had authority. The officer's belief that she had authority was reasonable in light of her own statements and her conduct.
Would it change the case if she weren't a relative?
No, Your Honor. And I think necessarily, even if it was a babysitter, a babysitter has the authority to let medical personnel in the house to take care of the child.
Have any cases gone so far as to say babysitters can give?
I don't think so, Judge.
Consent?
I think
that's a pretty big step, isn't it?
That's correct, Judge.
Or a nanny or somebody who's there to clean the house?
I agree. The case law does not go that far. I think.
You think it should?
In this particular case, there's more than just her status as an employee potentially, which she's not. Clearly, she was a neighbor and relative.
What about hotel staff?
It's a difficult question. I know that the case law does not support me on this, but I think if you have an individual who grants authority to third parties, whether they have a relationship to them or not, to come in, even move around their property.
The problem is you end up with an enormous constriction of privacy because you have so many people, you know, businessmen traveling all over the place, living in a hotel. Why do they end up without having any privacy?
I understand, Your Honor. And I think it may not be completely analogous, but on some level, I think when you look, it wouldn't be a search of the home, but in many ways, when people assume the risk by putting information about themselves online through social media, we treat it as an assumption of risk in that sense. And I understand that a search of the home is very different, but ultimately underlying this discussion is the notion of assumption of risk.
So I assume the risk if I hire a babysitter that she's going to allow the police to search my entire house upside down if she feels a little intimidated?
Well, in this case, she did not indicate that she was intimidated, but I think if you allow a person a key to your home and say, you can take care of my child as you need to in your discretion, and the police knock on the door and say, can we search this house? And she says, yeah, I think I have authority to consent. Go ahead. And the officers believe her based on her demeanor, based on her age or her relationship and the circumstances, then it's not unreasonable.
They come to the house, the babysitter opens the door, and the police say, oh, we'd like to search the house. Is that okay? Well, what's the babysitter going to say? She's not going to confront the police.
That's quite a risk to assume.
Oh, she may say, can I call the parents?
How about if this is somebody who's got a key to take care of pets while somebody's on vacation?
I think, it would depend on the circumstances.
You think that could be enough? If the police know that that's the circumstance?
If it's a dog walker, which is the example that was given in the appellant's brief, a dog walker who only comes in at a specific time to walk the dog, then no, certainly not. This case is much more different than that.
Okay, how about the case I asked you about? I give a key to a neighbor to take care of a cat while on vacation. The neighbor can come and go as she pleases while I'm gone. Has a key, can she give consent for a top-to-bottom search of the house?
It depends on when you granted the key and the access to that person, the circumstances or the...
I've just described the circumstances. What do you want to change that would make that a reasonable assumption?
I guess it would be the third
consent.
Party's understanding of what their authority is based on your communications to them.
What could I say that would communicate that it would be okay to let the police in and turn the place upside down?
And this is all a hypothetical, but you could say one way, if anybody comes in and they need to come in the house for any reason, feel free to let them in, or you could say never let anyone else in besides me.
How about silence? Take care of the cat.
Then
thanks. We'll bring you some wine.
Yeah, I think that probably does not include access to,
good.
To the police.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, we ask that the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Romero. Ms. Hubel, do you have anything further?
Very quickly. I would like to point out that this was 11 o'clock at night. The only access that Ms. Dominguez has ever stated to the court that she was granted by the defendant was to allow children in and out of the home while she was babysitting the son. This was 11 o'clock at night.
Presumably she was babysitting at that time?
She was at her own home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not exactly sure when the defendant's son was dropped off, but he is a minor child, I believe 5 or 6 years of age. I don't believe at 11 o'clock at night that there would have been access granted for that limited purpose of allowing children in and out of the home or any other third parties. And to take
was
that...
Was the child by himself in the apartment?
No, he was at Ms. Dominguez's apartment with her. And Ms. Dominguez at no time went over to the apartment that day. And I don't believe that Mr. Garcia had any belief that Ms. Dominguez would enter the apartment at that day. I don't believe that Mr. Garcia would have thought, as we discussed previously, that she would be entering the house or even going into his private closet and his private duffel bag in his private closet. Again, this is an 18-year-old girl and a 30-something-year-old man. Also, for the agents to believe somebody who holds themselves out and says, I have consent, that's not the criteria we use to determine whether or not that agent should, in fact, believe that person has authority. Anybody can hold themselves out and say, I have consent. You need more than that. The agents needed more than that to be able to rely on her consent to go into the home.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Alan.
You were appointed, were you not?